Mike Krueger, Richland IFC, joins us. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Mick. Those can't be rain showers. They've got to be UFOs. It's been so long since it's rained, I don't believe it.
Well, you know, there are a lot of potholes out there. Maybe it's a big flock of geese that just lifted up or something.
Yeah, it's one of those funny things. Not so funny, but I drove east of Warner today, and some of these early pre-lift beat deals going in the mud, right? We haven't had mud all year, and all of a sudden they're trying to drag some of these, whatever they call them, I can't remember, they start to do this very first cuts of sugar beets, and there's water standing in the fields. But
isn't that something? Yeah, better than washing the car, the sugar beet pre-lift will cause a little bit of rain. So
rain, exactly. Right.
Hey, down in St. Louis going on this week, U.S. Soybean Export Council and the soya, what are they? They're based down in Mankato, the soya, the IP people with the food grade soybeans exporting. They're having a big conference. They've got like 1,000 buyers in, and it looks like the demand for food grade soybeans, all soybeans from the U.S., will continue to be very strong.
I think you know, it has not slowed. It's expanded every year for over 20 years. The expansion the last 3, 4, 5 years has been even faster. And as we've talked for the last year, you know, the majority of these food-grade soybeans are produced right up here in our neighborhood, and not in the eastern Corn Belt and not in Iowa and Illinois and those areas. So as that demand grows, Richland IFC, one of the big boys, one of the old players in this food-grade soybean market, needs more acres. They needed more acres in 2021. They're certainly going to need more next year. And, you know, they're paying big premiums. So if you can add $4 a bushel to your 2022 soybean crop, and today those November of next year's beans are trading at $12.70, so that's $16.70 today. And my personal feeling is that I don't think these markets are done yet, so we could see a little bit more on the upside eventually once we get past this harvest. So yes, the food grade soybean market is not going to go away. It's going to stay strong, get firmer, and most of that demand is in North Asia, really solid economies, in particular Japan.
You know, not even a smart farmer can make money at $16.70 a bushel for soybeans. But the smart farmers are talking about food-grade soybeans.
You know, and I think the other important thing, again, we've mentioned this before, in a growing season like we are just finishing, where it was dry, a lot of uncertainty about yields, these food-grade soybean contracts are production contracts. You're not guaranteeing 5,000 bushels to Richland IFC. You're selling them the production off of however many acres you contract. So if your yield is 50 bushels an acre, that's what you deliver. If you had issues like this year and your yield is 25, that's what you deliver. You're not stuck for those extra bushels in case you do have drought, hail, or whatever the case may be. So that's an important consideration, especially when we have years like this.
Well, how about when we have days like this in the markets? Wheat was up again, but corn and beans kind of struggled today.
But, you know, interesting, I was kind of sitting here watching this unfold. So September soybean futures up 22.5 cents today, and the November's down 7. That's a real strong indication that people need beans, that demand is up front, basis levels are high. And granted, there's only a few days left of trading in the September contract, but all of those things there, that's friendly. And it was the same thing to a real lesser extent in corn. September corn slightly higher, December corn slightly lower. Interestingly, in some of these markets, particularly corn, Rabobank, which is a Dutch bank, by far the biggest bank in the world dealing or associated with ag, they put out a special report this week on corn and how tight world corn supplies are and how there's no room for error. I expect that soon they'll do a similar one on soybeans because it's the same scenario. And a few weeks ago, I did a similar piece on wheat. And today, you had Chicago, Kansas City wheat up 15. That, I think, is a function of two things. One, U.S. Particularly soft red winter wheat is now cheapest in the world. Secondly, it's still dry in Argentina, and their crop is starting to sort of break dormant. See, it doesn't go dormant, but, you know, they're getting into their primary developmental stage. So I think the other thing with this bean market, especially in the front end, is it sure looks to me, even up here, we'll see probably more corn harvested before soybeans, which is kind of unusual.
Well, everything was early this year. The dry bean harvest, the wheat harvest, the barley harvest, everything went through the combine early. So, hey, why should soybeans and even corn, which is turning and drying down quickly, why should they be any different?
You know, I think that there's another kind of factor in the background of all these markets. All the stuff going on in Afghanistan, it is creating a little bit of nervous deep underneath the markets. And I think the nervousness is, you know, where's China in this whole game? I mean, China is certainly our biggest customer for soybeans last year, our biggest customer for corn. They're starting to buy more wheat. I don't think it's going to lead to issues with trade. You never know. But I think that's also when you have headlines today of what's going on, none of it good. I think that tends to temper some of the enthusiasm in corn and soybean markets as well.
Yeah. Well, Jim Sutter and Monty Peterson will be with the U.S. Soybean Export Council. We'll talk about that next hour here on Farm Talk.
Perfect. So good.
Glad you brought that up.
I know both those guys, so great sources.
Indeed. Okay, so my thought on all of this, you mentioned Rabobank putting out a statement and on shortage of corn. You're talking about wheat. This is might be a terrible analogy for agriculture, but why is apathy like there is with all of these COVID cases that were, you know, record in Florida and headlines in the forum this morning were, hey, North Dakota could look like Florida here real soon with the variant outbreak. There's apathy there. People don't seem to care. Why doesn't the world care about the potential looming shortage of wheat and corn and soybeans in the world?
You know, I think a couple reasons. Number one, I think there's always that hope that it's going to rain and things are going to get better and it won't be as bad as it seems. And, yeah, it rained today, but we're at the end of August, man. The growing season is basically finished. I think that's part of it. Secondly, I think the USDA did nobody any favors by kind of sandbagging production estimates, particularly with Brazilian corn and Russian wheat and things like that. So, you know, a lot of people think those numbers are gospel, and they looked at them and said, well, there really isn't a problem. The other thing is, even to this day, there are people writing, the wheat supplies are plentiful. There's wheat every place. Well, not true. There's plenty of wheat in China. They have 50% of the world's wheat ending supplies and almost 70% of the corn. None of those grains are leaving China. They're big importers of corn and a growing importer of wheat. So I think the ag media and the USDA and others have you know, just been so slow to react to what's going on that everybody said not a problem. And I think the problems will start to show up. And actually, I think wheat's going to be the leader for a while in here. The Canadian crop, as we've talked, is poor. Their production numbers come out next week. Yields of spring wheat were, I think, better generally in North Dakota than people expected. But I think the abandonment of acres is going to more than offset, you know, the better than expected yields. The missing ingredient, particularly in wheat, is still demand. We've had good sales announcements on corn and soybeans almost daily the last 2 weeks. We need to see somebody show up and buy some wheat.
Boy, I guess, yeah, the good demand and a little bit, like as you mentioned, apathy, no anxiety on the looming shortages with the continued demand. Yeah, we have shortages of wheat, corn, and beans. Nobody cares. Boy, but have a mention of shortage of toilet paper and the world goes into a crazy funk.
Yep, exactly.
All righty. Hey, how do guys get a hold of the good folks at Richland IFC?
They should pick up the phone now and dial 218-643-1797 and talk to either Rick or Jake. And it's not too early to start asking them about contracts for 2022 food-grade soybeans. And as I said, these are acreage contracts. They're production contracts. They're not, you don't call up and say, I want to sell you 10,000 bushels. It's, I want to contract 200 or 500 or 1,000 acres, and then what you're doing is it's the production. So you're not locked into X number of bushels, and that's important. 218-643-1797.
Mike Kruger, thank you very much. Always good to visit with you on a weekly basis. Hope you're having a good day, and we'll talk to you. Now, next week we're down at Farm Progress, so I guess we'll visit with you after Labor Day.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Thank you, and we'll talk to you later.